Did you realize that it is not always a lack of faith that causes you not to get the right results? There's more to it than that. I'm going to begin talking about that today on our Gospel Truth broadcast, so stay tuned.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. So we've talked about what is a hardened heart. We've talked about what causes our heart to become hardened. Now, what is the cure for a hardened heart? And I'm going to share some things with you out of Matthew chapter 17, that this is one of the greatest revelations that God has ever spoken to me. I know that I say that about a lot of things, and there's probably some of you thinking, you say that about everything. Well, it's all true. I mean, if God speaks to you and His parts knowledge to you, it's awesome. And it is one of the greatest. This is one of the most profound things that God has ever spoken to me. This is something I use constantly in my life. And if you'll just open up your heart, I believe that this could make a huge difference in your life. Now, here's an instance where Jesus, in the first part of the 17th chapter of Matthew, Jesus took three of His disciples and went up on this mountain, and He was what the Bible calls transfigured. Literally, it's like He pulled back the veil that had been hiding who He really was, and the part that He was, divine, God, the Son of God on the inside, it began to radiate out through Him. He wasn't like Moses that just got into the presence of God and reflected the glory of God, but Jesus was the glory of God, and He radiated light out of Him. His garments became so white that it was whiter than anybody on earth could ever make it. It was just the supernatural glory of God shone out of Him. And then the glory cloud of God overshadowed Him and His disciples, and an audible voice came out of heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And after that was over, Jesus once again like pulled this veil over Him and went back to where the glory of God was concealed on the inside. And He and His three disciples came down from the mountain. And here's what it says in Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 14. It says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to Thy disciples, and they could not cure him.'" Now, this word lunatic in the King James here, most people believe that this is some kind of a seizure. He had something where he would have seizures and fall on the ground, and that's what it was talking about, something like epilepsy. And he brought his son to the disciples of Jesus. While Jesus and three of His disciples were up on the mountain, the other nine disciples were down still on the plain, and they brought this lunatic boy or this demon-possessed boy to the disciples to cast this demon out, and they couldn't do it. And so he called to Jesus for help. And here's Jesus' response in verse 17. "Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.'" Now, we're going to go on and talk about how that Jesus cast this demon out, and then He used this to teach His disciples a lesson about a hardened heart and how to overcome it. So that's where I'm going. But first of all, let me just say that Jesus, how did He respond to the disciples' inability to deliver this boy from this spirit that was causing these seizures? You know how it's presented today, how most people would present the Lord? That if something like this was to happen, they would tell us that we're just supposed to show compassion towards these people. We're supposed to sympathize with them. We're supposed to put our arm around them and say, "I know it's tough. I know it's really bad. Let me tell you about all of the things that I've prayed for that God has never set me from." You just sit there and sympathize with people, but you don't really demonstrate any power. There's a large segment of the church today that doesn't believe we're supposed to have the ability to cast out demons and to cause sicknesses to be healed and things like this. And they're preaching that that's normal. How did Jesus respond? Man, He didn't see it as normal. He said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I suffer you? How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus wasn't pleased with their inability to meet the needs of people. Well, I think that's worth noting. Jesus wasn't pleased with the fact that they couldn't get people healed, that they couldn't cast demons out. And I tell you what, I don't believe that Jesus is pleased today with the way that the body of Christ misrepresents him in this area. The body of Christ is basically, if somebody was to come to the average church and they had somebody who had epilepsy or some kind of a thing similar to this, and if they were to go to the average pastor today and say, I've got this problem, could you please help me? You know what the average pastor would do? They'd say, have you been to the doctor? Are you on medication? You know, they have some treatments, and we would point them someplace else. If a person comes with emotional problems, you know what the average pastor would do? Say, well, have you been to a psychiatrist? Have you tried this drug to stabilize your moods? If the average pastor was approached with a financial problem, they'd say, well, have you been to the bank to see if you could get a loan? Have you been to social services? I tell you, the church is not representing God properly. We are supposed to be healing the sick, cleansing the leper, and raising the dead. We're supposed to be telling people about how they can prosper. We're supposed to be helping them emotionally. Jesus wasn't pleased with his disciples' inability to meet the need, and he's not pleased with our inability to represent him properly today. I tell you what, we are misrepresenting God. The church today should be operating in enough power that we're seeing demons cast out and people healed and people set free. Well, they ought to be the first stop, ought to be the church instead of the hospital or the bank or the psychiatrist. You may disagree with that, but I tell you, that's one of the reasons that you aren't seeing victory in those areas. If you think that the Lord can do these things but isn't prone to do it, and we ought to exhaust every other resource first and only come to God if it can't be handled by anything natural or physical, then that's what I call a hardened heart. That's what I call that you are more sensitive to and dominated by and controlled by natural things than you are spiritual things. God wants us to be his representative here on earth. And I guarantee you, if Jesus was here in his physical body, he'd still be healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, and doing all of the things that he did when he was here. He expects us to be doing it. So you can tell by his reaction to these disciples' inability to meet the need that this isn't pleasing to him. Now, God loves us, and we are accepted with God through what Jesus has done. But the Lord isn't pleased with our misrepresentation of him today. Boy, we need to change. So in verse 18, it says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So Jesus did what the disciples were unable to do. Apparently, they put a lot of effort into this, and they didn't see any victory in this area. Jesus just spoke to the demon, and it came out. In verse 19, it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And this is what I'm really wanting to focus on here, because this is very important. And this, many of you can relate to this. These disciples said, why couldn't we cast him out? Now, before you get into Jesus' answer, you've got to recognize that these weren't people who had never cast out demons before. I'm not going to take time to turn over there. But in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus commissioned these exact disciples and told them to go out and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. And they went out, and when they came back and reported, there wasn't a single question answered that was recorded in Scripture. They were just rejoicing, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. So these people had already been given the authority and the power to cast out devil, and they had used it, and they had seen success. And the very fact that no questions were recorded implies that they had 100% success before. So this is significant, because this means that when they said, why couldn't we cast him out? This wasn't their first time to ever try it. They had done it before with success before. And this time they'd apparently done the same things, but they didn't have success this time. Now, if you're listening to what I'm saying, you ought to immediately begin to start relating to this. Because I can guarantee you there's many of you watching this program or listening by radio that you have prayed and you have seen God perform a miracle. and you have seen a demonstration of God's power to the degree that you believe that God wants to move and that God answers prayer today. So in the past, you've experienced this miraculous power of God. And yet, most of you would also have to say that there's times that you've prayed and you didn't see the manifestation of those things. Now see, this is significant because if these disciples were like some people are today who says, well, God doesn't do miracles today. Miracles passed away with the apostles. Well, see, they wouldn't have been perplexed. If they would have disbelieved that God wanted this boy delivered and healed of this thing, then they wouldn't have had this question. The very fact that they had the question shows that they believed it was God's will. The scripture account shows us they had experienced this power of God before. But this time, they didn't get the same results. Boy, can any of you relate to this, to where you know it's God's will, you've seen things, you believe, you rejoice when you hear testimonies about miracles happening, you know it's true, there was faith present, and yet you believed, you prayed, you did everything you knew to do, and you didn't get the right results. You might have seen somebody die. You might have seen a business fail or a marriage fail or something that you know it was God's will for it to work and you did everything you knew and yet you didn't get the right results. And so you're perplexed saying, God, if I didn't believe, I wouldn't have a question, but I did believe. Why didn't it work? I know I was believing. I know there was faith present. I don't know if you can relate to what I'm saying, but boy, I can, because I've done that exact thing. I have seen great miracles happen, and I've gone and prayed for other people and had just as much faith, as much as I can tell. From everything I can tell, I had just as much faith, and yet I didn't see the same results. I didn't see the right results. I've had people die that I know it was not God's will for them to die. And I've had this question, why couldn't I cast them out? Why didn't it work for me? Boy, this is an important question. And I'm out of time today, so I'm going to have to give you the answer to this on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in. And also, this teaching that I'm giving on hardness of heart is just vital that you get this. I really, really encourage you to get this. So please listen as our announcer gives you some information about this new expanded teaching on hardness of heart. And then please call or write today.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a 4-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 4th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request TK59 titled The Cure when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
It's our premier event of the year, the 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Join us Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel for an experience you'll never forget. Morning speakers include Karis Bible College instructors, and Andrew Womack will be teaching each evening. Praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, a full children's ministry, and so much more. Bring the family and enjoy Colorado. It's a wonderful opportunity to take the Colorado vacation you've always wanted. For reservations and more info, log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. The 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd. Change your life. Change the world.